For some of us, Mother's Day is a day of simple celebration. For others, it brings a tapestry of mixed feelings, gratitude, happiness, grief. We carry the weight of relationships that were perhaps never what we needed them to be. We carry the silence of those who are no longer with us. Regardless of our biological history, we have a radical opportunity. We can create an authentic, meaningful community of our own. We are not just born into families, we are born into a world where we can choose who we walk beside. Personally, Mother's Day feels a bit empty for me today. Both of my adult children live elsewhere. Our daughter Katie teaches high school in Spain, but she will be here for the summer. Clayton lives and works in Nashville. I'm incredibly proud of both of them, and I just hope that I can be half the mom that my mom was to me. I was fortunate to see Clayton last weekend. We traveled to New York City to watch the dress rehearse of Saturday Night Live. I know. I was surprised that I won the lottery for the tickets, and I was even more surprised to find out that the musical guest and host was Olivia Rodrigo. I know. Clayton is a huge Olivia Rodrigo fan, so I knew that he would be my plus one. Sorry, Dave. But we did get to go to All Saints in New York City, and that was amazing. So last Saturday, we arrive at Studio H in Rockefeller Center at 5:40 p.m. on the dot, as instructed. We were second in line, and we made many new friends with that anxious energy that you get with waiting for something really exciting. So when you get into the lounge, you show your ID four times, and they give you a blue ticket with a handwritten code on the back. And we're just like, what is this? And you're instructed to wear an orange bracelet. The lounge is really cool, and there's a DJ, and they're playing Olivia Rodrigo music and the music of other pop stars I may or may not know. We found out eventually that the guests are escorted to the studio according to the code on the back of your ticket. Now, there's a theory, now it's my theory, based on your code depends on your age, the way you're dressed, and your level of attractiveness. But it's not just my opinion, it's on the internet, so that means it's true. So everyone in the lounge is fashionably dressed. It felt and looked like a New York City runway, beautiful. And I was wearing my best outfit, a tiered quince dress and sensible pumps. I didn't want to be uncomfy. I knew we'd be in line for a long time. So when we're in this swanky lounge, hanging out with our new cool friends, and we are on top of the world, acting like we've been there before. And then, you know, I just asked our new friends, like, hey, what's on the back of your ticket? And they're like, the number 8. And I was like, oh, we're Jay. Wait a minute, you're number 8? You guys are totally going to get the VIP floor seats. I know it. And then I said, wave to us when we're up in the balcony and you're on the floor. Just wave to us and say hi. And so we're waiting, and we notice this woman with a clipboard walking around exchanging the orange, well, some of the orange tickets with these really sleek black tickets, which meant you got to go on the floor. And Clayton looks up at me, well, down at me, and he says, Mom, what do you think the chances are for us getting those floor seats? And I was like, well, you'd have more luck if you were with your girlfriend or your friends or your sister, but you're with your old mom. So the chances are slim to none. And he just looked at me and said, well, that's okay, Mom. You're the reason I'm here, and you got us here, and this is one of the best nights of my life. So did I secretly hope we'd get chosen for those floor seats? Yeah, absolutely. And so when the clipboard lady walked by and made eye contact with me and saw my quince dress and my sensible pump, Our members range in age from 55 to 100. I remember trying to get my mom to join, and she's like, honey, I am too young to be joining a senior center. And I said, well, Mom, I'm a member. Yeah. So you can be a member too. So the members, they come for pickleball and conversation, but they stay for the connection that they get with other people. And in our cafe, socioeconomic lines blur. I watch people from across the globe whose countries have been at war for years, and they sit together every day and they share their stories over a meal. For some people, this is the only hot meal that they'll get that day. And for many others, it's the only time that they'll hear their name said aloud. It's very special. It's a reminder that we're only isolated if we let the walls of our homes become the boundaries of our lives. I'd like to also tell you about the Day of the Doritos drama. Now, when I submitted my title to Gabby, she was like, do you mean Doritos? I'm intrigued. And then I said, yeah, Doritos. And then she sent me another note saying, okay, are you sure you mean Doritos? About 2 years ago, our volunteers had finished serving the hot lunches. The room was humming with the sound of that crackling cellophane that chips give you. And it's a high-value currency. And suddenly, I heard a loud voice from table four saying, Lee, it wasn't my mom, Lee, I didn't get any chips. And nobody at table four got any chips. Ooh. Panic set in, I checked the kitchen and the pantry. We were completely out, done, finished, no Doritos. Every eye in that room was on me. And so I got on the microphone and I said, we are out of Doritos. If there's anyone here who would like to give up their Doritos for table four, please let me know. And Miss Frances took her Doritos and she handed them up in her hand. And then the whole rest of the cafe did. Every single member held up their Doritos in their hand. It was so sweet. It was authentic. It was recognizing that even though we're hungry, we choose to share with the person beside us. It was very special and I will never forget it. I also saw this spirit years ago when I was a non-traditional student in 2005. I was a senior in college, yes, in 2005. I know the math isn't mathing. I didn't get into this global citizenship program that I applied for the first time, but I needed to stay a student, and I didn't graduate with the cohort of non-traditional students because I was missing some math credits. So in the second year of my second senior year, I applied for the program. Being a comeback student means you learn to try again. I made it the second time, and I got to go to the Kingdom of Eswatini and South Africa for 2 weeks. I saw the interdependent web in its most vital form. When radio stations broadcasted information about the AIDS epidemic, it wasn't just noise. It was a signal, a call to action. Clinics, schools, communities, leaders all moved in unison to continue to address the crisis. But my most profound memory happened in a small classroom. We went to observe a class, and there were mud floors, and some kids didn't have shoes. But we walked in this classroom, and I was really nervous, and I wanted to walk to the back because I thought I would be out of the way. But as I walked to the back of the classroom, the sixth grade student looked at me and smiled warmly and moved over so I could sit right next to him. He didn't have to do that. I don't know if I would have done that when I was in sixth grade, but he did it. And he had nothing to gain by it, but he knew that a community is only as strong as it's willing to make space. In our Unitarian Universalist tradition, we talk about interdependent web of existence. For the adults, we use words like mutuality and ecological integrity. But for the children, we explain it much more simply. We're all connected, like a giant invisible spider web. When you tug on one string, the whole web feels it. If a table doesn't get their Doritos, the web feels a little thinner. When Ms. Francis holds hers up, the web grows stronger for all of us. When a student in Eswatini slides over on a bench, the web reaches across the ocean and here to us in Leesburg. There's a little house in downtown Leesburg that posts handwritten motivational signs. You may have seen it. Recently, one read, "Value anyone who supports you when they have nothing to gain by it." If we can authentically cheer for others when good things happen to them, even when they aren't happening to us, we are winning at life. It's a wild, mad world out there. And it's okay to not be okay. But let's keep showing up consistently. Let's keep sliding over on that bench, and let's keep holding those chips up in the air.